Once again, welcome here in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the author of this very day, the author of the very reason that we come here to experience, the very day that He has designed and laid out before us, the very reason for eternal life, the very reason for our existence. And so we've come to, with all those reasons and our heart knit for praise, for thanksgiving with our brothers and sisters in the way of worship. And worship is an experience. Worship is many things that we are continually learning about worship. And submission to our Lord with our brothers and sisters. And it started when we walked in those doors for this day, for this design, for this service, and this piece of time. Yes, worship. Our brother mentioned in his prayer this morning, he did not know that about the subject matter that I wanted to continue upon this week. And that was the will of God. Now, it was rather a two-part because I spoke last week. And the title of the whole matter, subject matter, was the sovereign will of God. We put upon my heart. And the Lord will not turn you loose until it's something that is His will to accomplish. Now, first thing I'm going to tell you, to be honest with you, I'm not going to stand here in my certain limited understanding and anything that is of my own physical or mental capabilities, and especially to tell you that I know all things about the will of the Lord, because it's a very broad and a big and a powerful and divine subject. Now, there are some tidbits in the Scriptures. And the reason I say tidbits, because it's a taste, because of the omnipotence and God's sovereign wisdom and all things that He is about. So it is a grand and a wonderful subject. And it's just like, you know, what we say that, and the Scriptures bear out, that there will be a someday that when we'll understand the reasons why. When He brings back that veil and we are within His presence. And we come to understand the reasons why. Now, there was a statement I made last week. And then first of all, about the sovereignty of God, or His authority upon us, or His government upon us, and us coming into willful obedience to His divine intentions. And I'll make the statement again that if we cannot submit our will to His divine authority or His sovereignty upon us, we cannot accept the gospel of Jesus Christ nor salvation. I want you to think about that and chew on that. That it's His authority, His sovereignty. We need to accept that. We need to live by it and live according to it. And if we can't accept His divine authority upon us, how can we accept anything else? It's because of faith. Faith brings us to understanding and knowledge. Living by faith, stepping out in faith. And so, and I believe that. And I believe more and more, and the older I get, maybe the more little bit that I come to understand, the more I needed, it's just like he told Nicodemus, you must become as a little child in order to inherit the kingdom of God. And so we need to take a look at that very simplicity. The gospel of Jesus Christ locked in simplicity. To submit to Him as a child does submit to their father. And it is that divine will and authority because He cares and loves His creation. And as a matter of fact, let's take a look at a piece of Scripture to start out with, and that is over into 2 Peter 3:9. I believe this with all my heart. But what this very verse says, 2 Peter 3:9 tells us, I'll wait just a moment for a few. And that is this, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men may count slackness. It's not slackness, nor has he withdrawn His hand, nor has He forsaken His word, nor His way, nor His will. But He says here, but is longsuffering to usward, and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, turning from what the world has to offer to what we see, taste, and touch, and so on, and turning to Him through faith. And obedience, and accepting His divine will and authority upon us for all that He has to offer. All that He is about. His very existence, omnipotence, authority, and sovereignty. But He's not willing that any should perish. And He's tried to make provision throughout time. And as His word has been delivered by prophets, ministry, angels, and as a matter of fact, let us go on to another, and that is Hebrews 10:7. While we're in this area, I was going to use that a little later on, but let's use this right now. Hebrews 10:7. That because of the will of the Lord, there's many questions we may have according to it because of His divine plan and wisdom, preeminence, preparing. We know the end of the book. Let's put it that way. We know the end of the book. We know what He has laid out. So we wonder about the mechanics of each day as we go along and the power of choice, don't we? But He tells us, and Hebrews 10:7, then said I, lo, I come, the volume of the book as it is written of me, to do Thy will, O God. Talking of Jesus Christ. I come to do Thy will. And talking about the burnt sacrifices and so on and so forth that could never atone for sin, but they were schoolmaster to Christ. So, it is contained in the volume of the Word, of His Word, of His established Word and delivered Word. And He was the Lamb slain, prepared before the foundation of the world. Before the world began. Remember, Jesus was talking to His Father, so, Father, that I may have the glory that I had with Thee before the world once was. That Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Already prepared. Already knowing the choices within the garden to set in course of motion. World events and time was to begin according to man. And we wonder about the will of God, God's plan, and the way I, the statement that I make about His, the will of God is His divine intentions for His creation. That's us. And actually, in all things that He has created, and that would have to include animals and trees and all things that are acting according to nature, according to His will and pleasure, according to their order of operations. And so the two questions that I had thought about, and how do we fit into it or live by it? How can we understand it? How can we understand the will of God? Well, one thing that we know that it has preeminence here, or has a beginning, that we look into what He said in the first scripture that we read, that He in 2 Peter, He would that none should perish, that all should come to repentance. We see the work of the plan of God from the very inception of the garden to where man was cast out, and to till the earth and to procreate and to set in motion the course of events. Sin, death, dying, disease, pestilence, war, all those things were set into motion after that time. But we find many scriptures talking about the will of God, the plan of God, the design of God. We find things like, that are going to fit within His divine intention and His how things are going to go according to a course. Yes. Because once again, what is prophecy about? But foretelling the lucid sense of the truth and of revelation and of the future. And what we look into revelation, which we all may talk about, is to how we think things are going to come about, when they're going to come about, but yet they will come. It's been spoken out of the mouth of the eternal God that they will come, and that is the future. And right now we're living in a time and fulfilling a time that the prophets of old were foretelling of. But we're looking forward to it for a future time for Jesus Christ to come. And how short a time, we don't know. Maybe if we realized how short it was, we might be a little more sincere about accepting His authority and changing some things, possibly. I know I probably would. Maybe it would cause me to think in ways a little more acute or short-term, you know, and changing my life in ways in a little more. Sometimes that, and here's a thought, that we're not caused to make very hard and cataclysmic decisions until the storm is right there. And is that, we got to be careful. He's talking about tribulation coming. The Lord says there's a tribulation coming. How are you preparing for it? Have you thought about it? Do you think that there's going to be a sign or a broadcast across the media? It won't even give us the real news anymore. But it's very filtered and controlled. You know this. Do you think that there's going to be something that's giving a flash that says the tribulation is just now begun? Somebody fires off a starter pistol. Here you go. You think that's going to happen? No. But I do believe we're on the threshold of it. We see many things that are coming to pass that haven't never come to pass before in the history of creation. And there's more yet to come. How fast are they to come? That we don't know. But we want to be with wherever we're marking time here. We understand that there, and I have a list of some of those scriptures, and I really wanted to, I wanted to be there this year, but in conference they're talking about where we are we now? Where are we in marking time right now within the scriptures and within peace of time? And as he asks, we should know. He said, we should be looking about those things. Jesus said, you need to discern the signs of the times. Although I know, and the Lord manifested to be in no uncertain terms about, even though I wanted to be there, that his will and his intentions were I was here. There was need and necessity in many ways. And he laid that on me just very powerfully. The business of the work needed to be tended to. This is where I had been. And I praise the Lord that is, you know, you realize there was a need and that was just the way it was. You accept that. You praise the Lord. And but about where we are in time. But we want to know, in that time, where do we fit into his will, his care, and his keeping? And so, what he has given us the parameters of his word. He has given us the recipe of the word, of his gospel, of his truth, of his son, of our Savior, of his intentions, his divine intentions for you and for me. And if you will keep the word of his patience and live by faith unto endurance through that word, we are keeping in his will and within his will, because he would that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. Now, there are many decisions that people make, and we would that God were in each one of them. But you and I both know that there are many times that we make decisions and we go off and maybe do things of maybe run before the Lord. God is not in everything we do. We have a pretty good history of messing up on our own, don't we? I know I do. I can cause enough mischief on my own without the one with the tail and the pitchfork prodding me from behind. And as we pray for one another, of course. But the thing is that he would that we would keep the word of his patience and to keep the word of his gospel. And that's what we're learning about together. We're learning about it together. And so I wanted to read, and I think I read this one last week, but I wanted to read in the Book of Mormon, page 325. Page 325. I'd like to start on verse 34. Verse 34. Yea, I perceive that ye are making his path straight. Now, I think that's a very poetic way of saying you need to tread the straight and narrow path. His path's already straight. And it leads to him. Now, it's whether we go wandering off into forbidden paths like a mist of darkness and become lost or confused or in derision. But he says, I perceive that you are making his path straight. I perceive that it has been made known unto you by the testimony of his word that he cannot walk in crooked paths. Neither doth he vary from that which he hath said. So he's not going to walk off that path. He's waiting for you to come back to it. Neither doth he vary from that which he hath said. Neither hath he a shadow of turning from the right to the left, nor that from which is right to that which is wrong. Therefore his course is one eternal round. Now, I think that's a very, very neat and very important thing that he has told us. So, like I told you, that I don't believe that he is in everything that we do because of the choices that we may make, and that is what he's given us, the power of choice, because maybe we have went off in rebelliousness and we are maybe doing things that are not pleasing to him. Okay, but he's going to lead you in the path of righteousness. And his course is one eternal round. You know, he's not coming back this way again. You and I are not coming back this way again. We are where we are. You've seen these goofy scenarios where someone is transported back into time in order to see if they could do this or do that or whatever. And you know that there are people that are working on time travel today. Such utter sheer nonsense. God is in control of time. But there are people that are wasting a vast amount of time. And when I was studying refrigeration, they claim that you cannot actually reach absolute zero. They said if you had, you'd stop time. To me, it just means you got colder. Anything to do with anything else not proceeding forward? There are people that want to take and have themselves frozen in order to come back in a future piece of time. Well, anyway, we won't even go there. His course is one eternal round. And we may observe where he has been. And the scripture had bore out that when we observe where he is, where the fingerprint of God is, that is where he's already been. And he's already light years ahead of us. And he doth not dwell in unholy temples. Neither can filthiness nor anything which is unclean be received in the kingdom of God. Now we're going to see, we're looking into the things that are fitting into His will, His purpose, and His plan. And so if nothing unclean can be received in the kingdom of God, we know some of the things that we cannot be doing and what we should be about. And that is continually living by faith unto endurance, that the temple of the Holy Spirit is maintained and thoroughly furnished with his will and purpose. Therefore I say unto you, the time shall come, yea, it shall be at the last day, that he who is filthy shall remain in his filthiness. After this piece of time, how could it be changed? And he says, no, it cannot. It cannot be changed. And so He once again has given us something that we need to. And what is filthiness? Now that's something that we need to take a look into. Because if it's those things that displease him, it's good to know what it is that he doesn't like. And so it's good to know his word. We should take a look into his word. And it says in the scriptures that we're out of the volume of books that we're going to be judged according to those things. It's a good idea, I think, that we take a look into what it says. And now, my beloved brethren, I have said these things unto you that I might awaken you to a sense of your duty to God, that you may walk blameless before Him, that you may walk after the holy order of God which you have been received. I would that you should be humble, and submissive and gentle, easy to be entreated, full of patience and long-suffering, being temperate in all things, being diligent in keeping the commandments of God at all times. Asking for whatsoever things you stand in need, both spiritual and temporal. Always returning thanks to God for whatsoever things you do receive. Now, one thing I think we need to understand or to realize is there are many temporal things that can keep us from going on to more powerful spiritual things, that can keep a real log in the road between you and the Lord. There are things that we can do to pollute ourselves temporarily. They're breaking his laws because he calls this body a temple. We should be regarding it as such. And it's something we all are thinking about and wanting to do what is proper in His sight. And see that you have faith, hope, and charity, and then you will always abound in good works. That's the fuel. Here we find the fuel of the fire here. Pure love of Christ. And he talks about that ye have faith, hope, and charity, and you will always abound in good works. Isn't that a wondrous thing? You're finding the fuel for the fire. The things that give you the desire to do good works. And may the Lord bless you and keep your garments spotless, that you may at last be brought to sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the holy prophets who have ever since the world began, having your garments spotless, even as their garments are spotless in the kingdom of heaven, to go no more out. Now, and we know this must be said, that it is through Jesus Christ that we are made enough. And that's the only way. Through Jesus Christ, we are made enough. It is the desire through the love of Jesus Christ that we are to try to understand what this charity is about. We're learning about that as His children. We're trying to learn. Yes, we make mistakes. But He said He'd forgive us. Boy, I need His forgiveness. Don't you? We need His forgiveness. And now, my beloved brethren, I have spoken these words unto you according to the Spirit which testifieth in me. And my soul doth exceedingly rejoice because of the exceeding diligence and heed which ye have given to my word. Now may the peace of God rest upon you and your houses, your lands, your flocks and herds, and all that you possess, women and children, according to your faith and good works, from this time forth and forever. So thus I have spoken. Amen. So we find a beautiful passage about what we should be about. And this takes in all things within our life. You know, using God's recipe for what we're about. Now, about the will of God. Let's take a look over in the book of Psalms. Book of Psalms. In Psalm 51. Psalm 51. And I'd like to read verses 10 to 12. And we hear something very clean and very pure that we need to maintain, and that the Lord provides. And He says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Create. He says that he's the wise master builder. He is the creation of that new creature, created in Christ Jesus. And we're learning how to live according to that. But create within me a clean heart. Now, we would that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. And that new heart, we know, is what's necessary. And He, through the Scriptures, and I've always liked to notice this, the many Scriptures that He applies this of the heart. Now, heart, once again, is this pumping mechanism within the body, and we hope that it doesn't stop all of a sudden, is our desire. But the peace that God gives us, that so be it, whenever that is. But regardless of the matter, we find a beating hydraulic feature within our body to deliver the fluid, the blood, the lifeblood of the body to the different parts of our body, to our necessity. And so, but to create a new heart, when we're thinking here, and it, which helps us to decide. And so He's used the heart. I just think it's so neat. And yet, what we feel, when we feel something, we feel it here. Lord, of His infinite wisdom and knowledge, has put this into pen. I just think it's so neat. But create within me, and so we find the essence of what His will is for us to have that, to look for, and to let yourself. He's willing to do it, but let yourself have a new heart, and to keep that, maintain it, to live by it, live through it. And that's a new mode of life, of decision, and of choice, that new heart. and that we may live according to His eternal design. And the reason I say eternal design is because, yes, He has a design for how He wants us to live His life, our life, through His Son Jesus Christ in this world, live according to His design and His purpose and His will in this life. But His eternal plan is that which is, of course, going to go on unto forever, for beyond this time. In eternity, we certainly can't comprehend what eternity is all about. And so, I'd like to turn over into Isaiah 55. Especially right here. We're near it. Isaiah 55. I'd like to read verses 6 through 11. He says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found, and call ye upon Him while He is near." Once again, a very poetic way. The Lord does not depart. It is us that departs. And while our heart, our mind, does not become hardened and rebellious and unworkable and unrepentant, and then His Spirit cannot work upon us because of a hardened heart. And that's why He also talks about, you know, do not harden your heart. And that can be done through strong emotion that we let prevail upon our mind and our heart. There are strong emotion that can cause us to make decisions that are not good ones. Strong emotions. And of anger, lust, the fear of what man can do. There's many of these things that covetousness, coveting after things that we shouldn't, maybe a temporal object that has become an idol. But seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him and to our God. For He will abundantly pardon. For He says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." And I think that's really neat. And we need to bring our ways and our thoughts and our life in accordance with His thoughts, His ways. And His thoughts and His ways have been expressed. We're reading them. We're reading His thoughts. We're reading about His ways. And we need to bring them in accordance with that. And once again, into His will, and into His, and underneath His sovereignty. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and bringeth it forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." And we find that the Word, very essence of the Word, manifested through Jesus Christ, the author of creation, by the Father. He is the representation of the Word, and the Word was delivered through Him. And how neat that is. But His Word is not going to return unto Him void, and it's going to accomplish that, and it has a power. And He takes and works upon the hearts of the children of men, the minds and the lives of the children of men, according to His purpose and design, through His holy word. and that it may bring us into accord with His ways and His design. And once again, we're constantly learning about those things together in the body of Christ, what His will and design is for us. And He is a God to be worshipped, and we know this. And He has a Son and a Savior to be accepted and to be lived through and lived by. He has a gospel that was preached. He has a word that was delivered, and we need to accept that and to live by it and live according to it. It talks about in the upon judgment day, the books were opened, and the dead were judged according to those things that were written in it. And the Book of Mormon says the very same things, according to the words that we shall be judged. And it's very intricately important that we know what His gospel has to say. I'd like to take a look back over into Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Let's start at verse 21. I'd like to read 21 through 25. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance, and having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Our hearts are going to be sprinkled with the blood of Christ, from an evil conscience, and that is that conscience that has been worked upon by the Almighty God through repentance, that we may turn from what we have been about and turning to Him. And this high priest over the house of God we know is Jesus Christ. Our body is washed with pure water, I believe representing the significance of the waters of baptism that are sanctified for that very need and purpose. No matter where we may go for a baptism, I believe the Lord has sanctified those particular waters for that particular use and purpose. And we have used lakes there. We have used rivers. We have used. We've even had to use a hot tub one time in the middle of the winter. But we got it done. And the Lord sanctified that very time for that very purpose. No matter what it was. And there was a very stream that we stepped into. It was so cold that your skin would turn purple. But you know something? It warmed right up. Call it whatever you will, but it warmed right up. And so, I know of those that they had to break the ice for. I believe that was your mother over in Flint. They broke the ice for her because of her desire. I know a sister in this church that has a condition that locks her right up, just like putting the brakes on in a vehicle. And it's that fibromyalgia, and that's Sister Robin. And she testifies that, and we were in the middle of the winter, but she wanted to be baptized. And she has her physical limitations in coming, and we visit her. She was just fine. Because the Lord sanctifies that time. And there's many, many such blessings and testimonies that I know that many of us have. Having our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And here is our challenge. The profession of our faith without wavering. Now, the profession of our faith leads us to, it's a evidence of our walk in the Spirit. We walk in the good works that we do are evidence of walking in the Spirit. That's our evidence. That's why it says the evidence of things unseen. Faith is the evidence of things unseen. And faith is pleasing to God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And we We step out in faith, and he manifests the proof in the translation in our lives. How he translates our faith and our obedience, his sovereignty, his will, the knowledge of that which is good and that which is not good. Because we got to make decisions. Boy, we need that spirit to make decisions. We make choices, some of them good, some of them bad. And we need that spirit for what's called discernment. And discernment is godly wisdom. To discern that which is what we should do and that which we shouldn't do. Spiritual. It's called discernment. And we pray about that and we pray for it. And we keep in accord with His way and His will. Discernment will come. The power of His will and knowledge. I'd like to turn over to, and actually let's go on just a little bit more here where we're at, 24 and 25. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Now here's something really neat. He says to provoke unto love and to good works. Usually you think, once again, that you think that when you're provoking someone to tease or to make angry or to cause a contention or something, to provoke. But here we find provoking to love and good works, the things that to help to bring it forth, the things that nurture and to help to bring it forth. I think that's such a neat thing. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more you see the day approaching. You know, encouraging, leading, sharing testimony, teaching one another, admonishing one another in love. The best that we know how. Boy, we need love in our midst, our congregation, our lives, and our families. We need that. Much more you see the day approaching. The day of Christ is at hand. Now, it's at hand at all times for all individuals, but the day of Christ and our gathering together unto Him is shortly a coming. Is shortly a coming. Once again, I believe if we knew how short, we might be doing a lot of different things. I don't know. I'm not sure. But I do know what we should be about. I know what we should be about, and one thing is we really know that this morning, and that the essence of the beauty of the gospel in partaking of the flesh and blood, the essence of the love of the Father. The extension of the love of the Father, His condescension, and His perfect help for mankind. And that is His Son, Jesus Christ. His perfect help, and His perfect remedy, and His perfect answer to mankind. And that is Jesus Christ. If we will live according to Him and live by Him. I'd like to turn now over to Romans 12. Romans 12. I'd like to read verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The least that we can do for what all He has offered mankind. What has all been delivered through the power of the Father and the will of the Son for our eternal salvation. Our reasonable service. His willful death. The choice and power of His resurrection. He says, I lay my life down and I take it back again. He said, oh, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. The will of the Son swallowed up in the will of the Father. Holy and acceptable. The most reasonable thing that we can do to submit. What do we think that the kingdom of God is going to be about? Each of us all being individual thoughts, doing our own thing, going about doing this, doing that. The things that we know according to what we see and we have done upon this earth, nothing like it whatsoever. Our hearts will have to be and need to be knit together. And I believe that that is the essence of what His Zion is about. The government of the Lord upon His people. His design, His sovereignty, His will, and His purpose upon His people. And His people totally looking to Him as an all-sovereign Father. The kingdom of God. And so He says, what's our reasonable service? And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You're going to be different. You're going to be set apart. And you've got to be. He says that you need to be. And Titus said you've got to be peculiar and zealous of good works. And I believe through the love of God and through His charity, this will be your design and your pleasure. And this is acceptable and is of the will of God. It fits into His design and His purpose. His will and His design and His purpose is something that if we live according to His gospel, we will be finding out. Because our ways will be coming in accordance with His ways. He says God's not going to walk in crooked paths, or He's not going to be walking off from the path, the straight path, which we should be trodden. And He's not going to draw you off from that path and cause you to go off into forbidden paths or mists of darkness. And it talks about in the book of James, neither are you going to be tempted to leave that path by the Lord God. But the spirit of your own lust and enticed by one or the other. But He wants us to stay upon that path. Amen. We let His Spirit. We need to let that. Once again, if we are submitting to Him in His authority and as a child to submit to His Father, then that Spirit and the Spirit of Christ, that Holy Spirit and the Spirit of the Father works upon us to also keep us there and guide us there and strengthen us there and give us knowledge of being there and not wanting to be out there. He's talking about a total transforming, renewing of your mind and proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so I believe with all my heart that if we live according to these things, that we will observe the very fingerprint of God in His will, in His purpose, and His design. It's a little placard that I keep around. I have one in my toolbox at work, and it was given to me here a while back, and I've always liked it. And it says, always remember. And it says, the power of prayer, the success of perseverance, the pleasure of working, the value of time, the influence of example, the power of kindness, the obligation of duty, the virtue of patience, the worth of character, the wisdom of economy, the improvement of talent, and the presence of God. And I think I would like to look that over. Like that, I want to share that with you this morning. I'd like to ask our brother if he would come forward.